From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. Today, we're talking about a gas, a colorless, odorless gas that can power your car, heat your home, and play a significant role in addressing climate change. To be clear, I am talking about hydrogen and the federally funded project to turn it into a viable energy option for the future. WBUR senior reporter Bruce Gellerman just completed a three-part series about how Massachusetts scientists and researchers are working to make the state a hydrogen hub for the green economy. Bruce, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for putting me on.
Hey, thanks for coming through. So before we get into it, can you explain to us how exactly hydrogen works as an energy source?
Yeah, I can see you probably didn't do very well in high school chemistry, because I didn't. It took a while to figure this out. But so hydrogen is, you know, H2O, right? Hydrogen, oxygen is water, right? So the idea is to get hydrogen, separate it from water, and you get this gas that happens to be very, very powerful if you can distill it, if you can separate it out. And in fact, it's three times more powerful, you know, pound for pound as jet fuel. So it packs a lot of punch there, energy-wise.
That's impressive.
Oh, yeah. But the key is to really get it. And it's used in every kind of thing you can imagine. But getting it is tough.
You mentioned jet fuel, right? Like, can it be used for jet fuel? I mean, what are some of the ways that people use this for energy?
Oh, yeah. They're working on it at Pratt & Whitney, which is in Connecticut. They're working on hydrogen airplanes, right? The General Electric, which is here in Lynn, Massachusetts, they're working on it for jet fuel. But it gets so very hot if you burn it that you've got to use very interestingly modified jet engines. And that you're going to see that, I predict, and they predict, in the next few years.
Right. And so who are the people or institutions at the forefront of making hydrogen more accessible to people?
Well, Massachusetts has played a really significant role in distilling hydrogen. We should say hydrogen has been separated from water for hundreds of years. So this is not new, but making it profitable, making it cheaply, making it cleanly is really the challenge, right? So here there's a company called Giner, which is in Newton, Massachusetts. It's a 50-year-old R&D company, and they've been working on electrolysis and perfecting it for five decades now. And Andy Belt is the CEO. I spoke to him, and he had a really great description of how to make what they call green hydrogen, using a device called an electrolyzer.
In the guts of the electrolyzer, where the magic happens, you combine water with electricity and you break the bonds of water, and out comes hydrogen and oxygen. And that's the magic that goes on in the center of an electrolyzer.
The magic.
Yeah, I love the way he says that, right? Because it kind of is magical, right? You take electricity, a current, you pass it through some water, and out pops on either side of these electrodes oxygen and hydrogen, right? And the oxygen you can use to life support, and hydrogen you can use as an energy source. It's interesting to note, Darryl, that General Electric back in the 1960s was trying to figure out how to power the Space Command module for the Gemini spacecraft. Those were the two astronauts who went up in orbit. And they were traditionally using lead acid batteries and these other kind of chemical batteries. And they developed a device called a fuel cell, which takes hydrogen and oxygen and recombines them to make water and electricity. So the key, so the key is to take water, separate it into hydrogen and oxygen, use the hydrogen to store it as a compressed gas. And then when you want to use it, you recombine it with oxygen and you get water and electricity. It's magic.
Right. And so from what I'm getting from you is it is a process to turn hydrogen into an energy source.
Exactly.
And I would imagine we're going to have to scale that if we're trying to make this available to the general public, you know, the masses. Mm-hmm. Can you explain some of the processes and technology that's going into making this available for more people.
Yeah, we're going to have to make it available big time. The idea, and what's the key now, is to make green hydrogen. In other words, we can make hydrogen using all kinds of other methods. They're really dirty and they emit a lot of greenhouse gases. But if we use renewable energy like solar and wind to break, to separate the water, we're good to go. So now that we have these big solar projects, we have these big offshore wind projects, we can use that energy to separate water, get the hydrogen, and use the hydrogen as we want to fuel ships, to fuel rockets, to fuel all kinds of stuff, our homes and so on. So it's that green hydrogen that we're really looking for, and the renewable energy, which is coming down in costs, which is the key to all of this.
Yeah. And what are the obstacles to that? I mean, you know, why haven't we done it now? It's 2022, right?
Right. It's a good question, though. So the reason we haven't was we really haven't had the scale of these offshore wind farms, for example. They have had it in Europe, and Europe is just starting to use its offshore wind facilities. When they don't need the electricity, they basically produce hydrogen offshore from seawater. They distill the seawater because you need pure water. And then they use the energy in electrolyzers at sea to split the water. And then they can either send it off in ships and actually act like a service station for ships, which can use hydrogen as a fuel, or they can pipe it back on shore and use it on shore. So the scaling up of the infrastructure for the green infrastructure, offshore wind and solar, is really where it's at. That's when it's going to take off. And those electricity sources, offshore wind and land-based wind, solar, are coming down in cost so fast. It's incredible. And now they're cheaper than, say, generating electricity from, you know, natural gas, which is...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned the cost of and how cheap things are getting. Can you talk about some of the funding behind these efforts?
Well, there are worldwide efforts, right? And I mean, China is trying to do it, and Europe is trying to do it, and Russia and South American countries. It's really a global effort, kind of a race. And right. The United States has an effort called the Hydrogen Hub Project. And it's between $8 and $9.5 billion efforts. And what they want to do in the United States is set up at least 4 hydrogen hubs. Those are research centers where companies, research organizations, universities come together and try to bring down the cost of making green hydrogen and make it profitable and make it useful. One of the interesting things about the American Hydrogen Hub program is they want to drive the supply by developing demand, having a reason to use it.
Right.
And so it's a fascinating way of looking at this kind of policy and putting it into practice.
And how much funding is the U.S. putting behind this project?
Well, it depends on how you calculate it. I get it about $9.5 from the Department, billion dollars from the Department of Energy. It's a lot of money, and there'll be a multiplier factor. Massachusetts is teaming up with Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey. Now, my guess is the hub will physically be in New York or New Jersey. That's my guess, but it's really early in this process. They haven't selected the 4 hydrogen hubs yet.
Okay, so we're in a place right now where there's some significant progress happening with the development of hydrogen as an energy source. How does it compare to other alternative sources of energy? You know, I'm thinking wind, solar, you know?
So, yeah, think of it as a battery. Hydrogen, you can compress it by putting pressure on it, and it brings down the temperature like to minus 420 degrees Fahrenheit. That is really cold. I mean, that's almost absolute zero. So you want to compress it down to make it small. And it's actually an energy carrier. The idea for hydrogen is that you can reduce the size, you can then transport it and use it when you want to. So you can take offshore wind, for example, use the electricity that you generate and turn it into hydrogen, right? Store that energy as hydrogen gas. And then when the wind's not blowing or the sun's not shining, you can take that hydrogen just as a battery and voila, you create electricity. wind energy, electricity, is either use it or lose it. Unless you have storage, which is now pretty expensive. I mean, people have Teslas, for example. Those are expensive cars because the batteries are expensive, very heavy. Mm-hmm. Hydrogen's not very heavy, right? In fact, hydrogen is the lightest element known to humankind, right?
Right.
And so you can transport it by condensing it and using it when you want it. Because energy storage, Darryl, is the holy grail of clean energy. It's the
right.
It, if you can store energy and use it later when you need it, oh, you're good to go.
That's very fascinating. And so, you know, what can we look forward to in the meantime?
You're going to see a lot happening in the near future with countries announcing different types of programs to make green hydrogen. So Saudi Arabia, right, which we all know produces gas and oil, right, they're shifting their economy to hydrogen. They see the handwriting on the wall, right? We got to get rid of these greenhouse gases. And the prediction is, and I think it's conservative, that by 2050, 20% of our energy, all our energy, will come from hydrogen. That's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there have been predictions of hydrogen's hopes for a long time. So we're going to see if it's more hope than hype. But I should say this. There is a company in Massachusetts which I found fascinating. It's called Alakai. And they're producing something called Sky, S-K-A-I, which is a hexacopter. It has six engines, and it's going to be powered using hydrogen. And they're going to be testing it out soon at an airfield in the center part of Mass. I'm going to be there.
Did you talk to someone from there?
Oh, for sure. It's this wild device. It looks like a minivan with six arms, and attached to each of the arms are blades, you know, propellers. Yeah, they're going to use it for all kinds of things, like medical evacuation and disaster relief. And they've got three prototypes. I saw them. This is very, very exciting. I got to tell you, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to go. I want to ride in one.
Me too. Hopefully not as a not in need of any medical help or anything like that. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for breaking down this fascinating story. I feel like I got a whole chemistry lesson from you, so I'm going to have to go hit the books and refresh myself. I have one more question for you, but let's take a quick break first. Do you have a little time?
Sure.
Awesome. So, Bruce, after a 44-year career in public radio, you're about to retire. Before you go, what kind of advice would you give journalists like myself and others who may be listening?
Ooh, I won't get complicated. I'll get simple. Think with your ears. This is about hearing stories, about understanding their sounds, of taking words and smashing them together. Words have consequences. And so you communicate so powerfully using sound, the power of a single voice or the power of many voices combined with sounds and cut sharp and sliced cleanly. And, you know, you can do so much. I mean, it goes right into your brain and right into your soul and right into your heart. So my advice, think with your ears.
Understood. I'm going to take that. Bruce, thanks again. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
You are most welcome. Thank you for your good questions.
That's WBUR senior reporter Bruce Gellerman. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Franny Monahan with sound design from Matt Reed. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Darryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You're obviously a podcast listener. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just a local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts culture, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.